I have on the telephone Reverend Ron Reagan, pastor of the Church of God in Townsend, Tennessee. And in 1972, he had an experience with the invisible world that he'll never forget. But let me take you back. At age 12, your father did something that you could never forgive him of. What did he do?
I had a pet lamb, Sid, that had been given to me by a neighbor. My dad was an alcoholic, very abusive. One afternoon, in coming home from school, I heard my father screaming and cursing, and I walked over to where he was working on an old automobile, and there was my pet lamb laying on the ground with blood all over the white wool. And in a rage of anger, he had taken a tire iron and plunged it through the lamb's body and killed it. And at that point in life, I just lost control. I think I was completely possessed by hatred and violence and rebellion against authority, anybody that represented authority. At that point in life, I just became a runaway and plugged into the juvenile system, the reform schools. Actually, by age 15, I was in the reform school for manslaughter myself, Sid.
Well, at 25, you had an experience you'll never forget. That was 1972. You were in a package liquor store with your son, and you got into a fight. Why'd you get into this fight?
Well, being the violent person that I was just filled with hatred still at that point in life. Had two precious children, a wonderful wife that, you know, couldn't live in safety, even living with me because of my nature. My son was only 5 years old at the time. Started in this package store, and a man was coming out of the store at the same time, and he pushed the door, and I pushed it, and that's all it took. With me, I just hit the man, knocked him down, and busted his head, but he fell in a case of glass bottles, and they broke, and he got up with one of the large bottles and started stabbing at me, actually stabbed at my face, and I lifted my left arm to try to stop the blow, and it severed the biceps muscle and the arteries and the ligaments, and in moments I was just bleeding to death. It was quite an experience.
Just out of curiosity, what was your religious background?
No religious background. My family didn't attend church or, you know, read Bibles or anything.
Had you ever, in your experience, read the New Testament?
Oh, no.
Okay, so you're there bleeding to death. What happened next?
Well, the man that run the package store began to cry out, if you don't get to the hospital right away, you'll bleed to death. So he took me in my own automobile, drove me 2 miles to a hospital, and by the time we reached the emergency room, the floor was completely filled with blood, and I had almost lost all of my strength by that time. I couldn't really even see. I could hear voices, but I could hear him saying, we can't help him here. We're going to have to transport him to another hospital. He's lost too much blood. The arm will probably have to be amputated. And they started loading me in an ambulance to take me 20 miles away to Knoxville, Tennessee, to another hospital. And in that ambulance, the young paramedic began to talk to me and looked in my face. And
did he indicate what your condition was, this young paramedic?
Well, not in so many words, but what he said to me made me think I must be pretty near death. Pretty near death.
What did he say?
He said, sir, do you know the Lord? And I didn't understand what he meant, but he said that you're in a dangerous place and you need Jesus Christ. If you'll call on him, he will help you. Well, I didn't know Jesus. I didn't know what he meant. And I just lashed out at anything I didn't understand. And I cursed him, and I cursed Jesus, and he did it again. He said that again. And by that time, I was just furious again because I didn't understand what he was saying. But at that time, it was like I had the sensation of the ambulance exploding, like it just exploded into flames. And it just in moments I was moving through the air, through the smoke, almost like a tunnel. And
you like left your body, would you say?
Well, evidently that's what happened. At the time, I didn't know what was happening.
Okay.
I just had the sensation of moving through the air.
Okay, what happened next?
In just moments, when I came out of the smoke, when I was looking down into what appeared to be an active volcano, and a huge, large place, and with a burning lake down inside it, and I could hear multitudes of voices screaming and see multitudes of people inside this. And just almost immediately then I was going on down into this myself, and people's faces begin to appear to me close up like a lens on a camera, and to my just horror, I begin to recognize some of them, and I could hear them screaming, "Ronnie, don't come to this place. There's no way out. There's no escape. If you come here, there's no way out." And these people that I recognized were people that had all died violent deaths. We had partied together. We had done crime together. We had drank together. But all of these that I recognized had been shot to death, had died of overdoses, or some form of tragedy. And one by one, they screamed and looked at me and said, "Ronnie, don't come here. There's no way out. There's no escape."
Were these people, from what you could see, in real pain?
These people were in the most horrible, agonizing pain that you can imagine. And it went deeper than physical, fleshly pain. What I was feeling, the worst pain, was the horrible atmosphere of loneliness and anxiety and depression and horrible feeling in the air of just no hope whatsoever. And I it's still hard for me to talk about it, Sid.
Now, when you got back, so to speak, and your eyes opened up and your wife was there and you were in the hospital, I must ask you this question. How do you know you didn't just imagine the whole thing?
If I imagined the whole thing, then everybody that's an alcoholic or a drug addict or a criminal or any kind of lifestyle that's just hopeless needs to imagine what I imagined. Because I never feared anything from childhood. I'd been shot and cut and beat and actually got to the point that I'd get high on pain. But this did something to me that made me realize there was something more that I knew anything about. And no matter how much of a hell on this earth people may live in, there's something worse if their heart is not prepared before they leave this life.
But you know, the overwhelming thing to me, Ron, is you had no knowledge of hell.
No.
You didn't even believe in it. You hadn't even read the Bible.
No. And to me, the way I feel now I do believe in it after having this, but this brought a fear of God into my life that had never been there. Now I know it was the goodness of God that leads me into repentance.
Well, you came to, you went home, your wife was reading the Bible, and she said that she had been to a prayer meeting and Jesus had come into her heart. She invited you to go, you went, and what happened?
The most amazing thing, when I went into this meeting, I didn't know how to act, where to sit. I'd always thought of a church as just a place where good people met together to socialize. But I sat in the back, and this minister got up, and knowing nothing about the Bible, he could have read anything, and I wouldn't have known what he was talking about. But when he began to read, he read St. John chapter 1, verse 29, that said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." And when he said the Lamb, he had my attention, because it took me back to my lamb as a child. And he said, "Jesus is God's Lamb. He's the sacrifice for your sins, no matter how bad you've been or how deep you've gone. Jesus is the answer." And that morning, that was November the 2nd, 1972, at 15 minutes of 12 o'clock. That morning, when he gave an invitation, I didn't know what the usher said or the altar workers or the spiritual life committee said. I didn't even know what they were saying around me. But I prayed a prayer like this, Sid. I said, God, if you are real and you exist and Jesus is this lamb, this son that this man's talking about, please, God, kill me or cure me. And at that instant, the devil turned me loose and my life was redeemed. And I've been rejoicing ever since.
Well, let me ask you some very pointed questions. You were into alcohol. You were into drugs. Did you have difficulty getting rid of those things?
None whatsoever.
Into violence?
None whatsoever. My complete nature was changed. I had no withdrawal. I was drinking 190-proof pure grain alcohol by the quarts every day of my life, chasing it with beer. I was smoking dope. I was on probably $300 a week of Benzedrine and Dexedrine and all kinds of speed. But when it left me, when I realized this business of the Lamb of God, Jesus, I was delivered. And I know some people struggle, and I'll help. And you know, people have a hard time. But with me, when it left, it left. I had an instantaneous deliverance immediately.
And since that time, you've gone on to pioneer three churches. You're a senior pastor of a large church in Tennessee right now. Is there really a hell?
There is a hell, Sid. There is a hell as surely as there is a heaven. There is a hell.